Le Corbusier is one of the main figures of architecture in the 20th century, but he's also a painter, an artist.
Frédéric Migayrou is the deputy director of the Pompidou Center and the curator of the exhibit.
Each morning, for 4 or 5 hours, he stays in the studio as an artist. And it's absolutely fundamental to understand the work. And this interrelation between art and architecture is the key to understand in a new way the work of Le Corbusier. And in the show, the purpose was to mix and to interrelate the art practice and the architectural practice.
Le Corbusier had a very distinct worldview.
It was an alternative idea of rationalism against the 19th century. It is the complete refusal of the notion of proportion coming from the Renaissance to the 19th century, trying to invent proportion completely related to human perception. And he was really fascinated by new mathematics.
This starts with his early paintings. Le Corbusier arrived in Paris from his native Switzerland in 1917 at age 30. He co-founded the Purist movement, which rejected Cubism, which in his manifesto he called too ornamental.
The Purist painting are entirely done with a new system of proportion, which will be determinant to understand the first projects in architecture.
These paintings are still lifes of guitars, bottles, and simplified forms with specific color palettes. Migayrou says Le Corbusier applied the ideas of his art to his architecture, which in the 1930s was a radical departure from what was being done at the time. Le Corbusier buildings had open floor plans, roof gardens, large windows, geometric, with very little ornamentation.
The main idea is to invent a space in accordance with the rules of perception and the rules of the body. And in this way, he invented first a cell of inhabitation, which was the Pavillon de l'Esprit Nouveau. And after that, he extends this to garden cities and to vertical buildings. And after the Second World War, the Unité d'Habitation in Marseille and others. And at the end, a complete city in Chandigarh.
It's interesting to see an architect and an artist who's so obsessed with the proportions of the human body, and the result is these very, some would say inhuman, but these very sort of open, pure lines, not curvy, not messy.
No, because it's not an abstract system of perception. For him, the body's in movement.
The exhibit is full of paintings, architectural sketches, and models. Towards the end is a room showing an experimental audiovisual piece called Poème électronique, electronic poem, that Le Corbusier created with his associate, Yannis Xenakis, a mathematician who later became one of the pioneers of electronic music. In the piece, images chosen by Le Corbusier flash on a screen. They're animals and people that he thought described civilization. They're accompanied by a soundtrack by the composer Edgar Varèse. It was shown at the 1958 International Exposition at the Philips Pavilion, which Le Corbusier designed. Migayrou says that music was key to Le Corbusier's art.
The culture of rhythm was seminal in his work at the beginning because Albert Jeanneret, his brother, was a musician. And at the end, I think that the relationship with Xenakis was an accomplishment because Xenakis was very aware about new mathematics. And the Philips Pavilion with the sound of the music of Edgar Varèse was really the accomplishment of this new kind of space which defined for him the 20th century.
I speak so bad English that I am obliged to take my paper.
Le Corbusier left behind very few interviews in English. The exhibit has a clip of a BBC documentary on him when he was 71 in his Paris studio. He's surrounded by his paintings.
My research is like my feeling directed towards what is the principal value in the life, the poetry. Poetry is in the heart of man and is the capacity to go into the richness of nature.
Critics of Le Corbusier, and there are many, will not see the poetry he's talking about here. He left behind a large body of work, but he's even more well known for his philosophy of architecture and urban planning, a focus on dense, vertical structures that informed the blocks of public housing that were built in France after the Second World War. This type of building has been blamed for forming urban ghettos and encouraging discrimination. Some would say the ghettoization, though, was intentional. Le Corbusier, obsessed with purity and organizing urban life, was friends with members of France's far right in the 1930s and aligned with their ideas. He helped publish magazines, for example. He also worked for the Vichy government during the Nazi occupation of France during the Second World War. Two recent books published to mark the 50-year anniversary of his death tie Le Corbusier even more strongly with fascism and reveal a more vehement anti-Semitism than previously known. The exhibit at the Pompidou does not deal with any of this, and it includes no works of Le Corbusier's from the 1930s. In a statement, the museum said it evoked all periods of the architect's life in a retrospective in 1987. Frédéric Migarou agrees.
The first text published on this period, this ambiguous period of Le Corbusier between the 30s and Vichy, were published in the catalogue of the Pompidou in 1987.
He describes Le Corbusier's political affinities as professional opportunism.
As all great architect, he was in negotiation permanently with the high level of power. He was communist in USSR, you know, close to the Communist Party, trying to build the Centre Soyuz. He was close to the fascist period, trying to put something in shape in Italy. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was in Vichy during the Second World War, trying to work for the reconstruction. This is a very complex person, and there is surely some ambiguity in his ideology.
Migarou says looking at Le Corbusier's ideology is useful for understanding his personality, but he disagrees with critics who see totalitarianism in Le Corbusier's architecture.
Yes, you have the Plan Voisin.
That was Le Corbusier's 1925 plan to tear down Paris and rebuild dense housing towers instead.
But it was pure theoretical speculation. In the architecture itself, Le Corbusier was not really a builder for totalitarianism. You know, it's a complete confusion.
Le Corbusier's rationalism and focus on purity and hygiene, says Migarou, is what informs design and architecture today.
He signed a new idea of modernity, to live today in a rationalist space. It was not the case in the 30s. 85% of people have no bathrooms. To have a bathroom, to have a clear space, to have light, to have access to sport, and so on, it's now effective today. It seems to be normal to have big windows.
The flip side, of course, of the legacy is that a lot of his ideas of urban planning seems to have informed, say, a lot of the suburbs of France and of Europe, of these big housing blocks, that he had an idea for it. It didn't quite work.
At the end, it was a manipulation by the industrialization and by the economy. The new cities around Paris were built as a financial optimization. It was not done with the rules defined by Le Corbusier.
What was missing?
The idea of space, the notion of light. Most of those buildings have no little windows, no balcony, no terrace, no collective equipment. In the city of Le Corbusier, you had a school, you had inside streets, you had some stores inside the building and so on. It was like little cities.
The exhibit, Le Corbusier, Measures of Man, focuses more on the paintings, but has plenty of architectural sketches and models. And though it glosses over the not-so-savory aspects of the architect's ideologies, the museum does say it will hold a conference on French architecture during the 1930s and 40s to fully explore architects' role during the war and the Vichy government. That will be in 2016. Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.